And welcome back to the 50-50 podcast presented by Physical Athletics. Our proud sponsors, our proud partners, make sure you check them out. You can check them out on social media, on Facebook, as well as on Twitter and Instagram at Physical Athletic, as well as on their website at physicalathletics.com. So speaking of Physical Athletics, we're proud to have someone who I've befriended in a very short amount of time, a gentleman who I have a ton of respect for, who's doing things the right way. He's the director of strength and conditioning at Physical Athletics, Coach Armando Aguilar. Coach Aguilar, welcome.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Appreciate the opportunity.
All right. So you ready to dive in?
Let's go.
All right.
Let's get
so,
to it.
All right. So 10 months into the 10 months into the pandemic, how are you? How's your family? How's the organization doing?
I'm doing well. I know this pandemic has taken a toll on a lot of people, but fortunately, I've been blessed where work didn't stop for me, and I've been able to keep going since the pandemic started. Of course, it did slow down quite a bit, and you know, things got a little crazy with the stay-at-home order and all that stuff with from the judge and the governor. But I've been blessed where I've been able to continue working and working with some of the athletes. For my family, unfortunately, we did have one of my sisters actually did get COVID-19, but because she's young, yeah. She was fine. She wasn't. She didn't get sick.
I'm glad that was great.
But you know, I'm blessed to be able to say I kept working and now things seem to be getting better. And all I think people are adjusting, and I think here as an organization, we kept going.
So. Yeah. All right. So for those of us, we're gonna have student athletes, we're gonna have parents, we're gonna have coaches. Obviously, we're specifically speaking for the organization, for the office, your performance center here in El Paso. But give us a little bit of background, mm-hmm. and Physical Athletics. You know, how long you've been here, a little bit of your background, time that you've been here, and just Physical Athletics in general.
Sure. So with my background, so I was born and raised here. I attended UTEP from the very beginning. I wanted to become a strength and conditioning coach. I wanted to go into mm-hmm. performance training. I doubt that there's anyone who goes into this field who wasn't an athlete prior, right. who was not an athlete. I was not a collegiate athlete, but I was a high school athlete. And although I may have not been a great athlete, I knew I still had a love for sports, mm-hmm. and I wanted to continue working in this field. So when I finally went to college and did my undergrad, I knew right off the bat that I wanted to do strength and conditioning. So my first experience in this field was my first internship, which was at UTEP. I did about a year of an internship there, full-time intern. First 6 months were actually halftime, and then the rest was full-time. After that, I went to North Texas. I spent half a year there as well. Met a ton of great people.
Internship at North Texas?
Yes. Met a ton of great people there. Actually, one of the guys that the way I coach and the way I, the type of energy that I have in here is very much like the my boss who was at UNT at the time. He was an assistant at Michigan, then moved to UNT to accept the head position. His mm-hmm. name is Luis Carla.
Okay.
He's now at Georgia Tech. And nice. I think everyone has seen videos of this man doing on ESPN where he's held.
I've seen you post some stuff.
He's made athletes do wall sits against the wall with a 45-pound plate. He would just walk on them. And then what was another one? When he was at University of Buffalo, he was doing Nordic hamstring curl with an athlete. And the man has tremendous energy. So I drew a lot from him. And, of course, I learned a lot of other things from some of the other coaches there. Fast forward, after I finished there, I accepted a full-time position over here at UTEP. And there, that's when I really went.
So this is all postgraduate. You've racked up two internships. And
yes.
Now,
gotcha. Yes. Okay. So then I went to UTEP, worked there for a year, and then I decided that one trend that I began to see with athletes, more so with female athletes, was the training that they've received up until that point was not that great. And some were great, some were a little more athletic, but some, it was like they had never touched a weight in their life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're getting these athletes who they're supposed to be, and I'm sure they're best of the best, you know, when it comes to their sport and in that high school. But once they go in there, I mean, they're starting back from square one. You're a freshman again. You may even have to redshirt depending on what kind of goals your coach has for you. So it was strange to see that. And then I started to realize that within the high school levels, there's not a whole lot of organized strength and conditioning programs going on, at least not in this city. I know I have friends who work elsewhere outside of El Paso and outside of the state, where they do have programs designed right with the training that the athletes do as far as sport specific skill. Mm-hmm. And so they actually do, and it's more so like a collegiate type of setting where they do their sports practice and then they'll go to their strength coach. So I felt like I felt like there was something I could possibly do. Mm-hmm. And so I started looking at facilities here in town. I know the big one back when I was in high school. It's my 10-year reunion,
you
actually.
You were about to say when you were young.
Yeah, no. Back
first
when
slip,
I was,
that's how it starts.
Yeah, back when I was in high school, the name that would always come up as far as performance training, and if I remember correctly, it was the only one, because CrossFit was really not big at all. Mm-hmm. During that time. It was a Human Performance Center, HPC. Mm-hmm. And I remember friends of mine, teammates who would go to that facility. And, you know, of course, at the time, I didn't think much of it. And so I started looking again as to what was going on. And of course, that facility was still going around. And there was maybe one other, but there was just a lot of CrossFit gyms. Until I found this facility, and of course I went on their website, and I wanted to make sure that, is this the place where I don't just want to stop being a collegiate strength and conditioning coach. I wanted to go to a facility where I can actually apply the skills and knowledge I've learned over the years of working with collegiate athletes, and I wanted to apply it in the right setting with the right athletes. So, you know, I contacted the director here, and, you know, sure enough, he actually knew one of my bosses at UTEP, and so we just got going, and eventually I got hired here, and ever since then, you know.
And that's been how long?
That was in 2016.
Okay.
2016, yes. 2016, May 8th, 2016.
So that entering was, the fifth year.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then, you know, kept working here, working with the athletes, and the mission has stayed the same as far as what the goal has stayed the same as far as what we wanted to do when it comes to training athletes here. From the very beginning, I fell in love with the motto of applying science to your game.
Right.
And even when I became director, that is the one thing I wanted to keep here. I wanted to make sure that we differentiate ourselves from not only other facilities here in town, but my goal is for this facility, this company, to be recognized not just here in El Paso, but outside of El Paso. So if I'm going to have friends of mine who are looking from the outside in, I want them to see a facility who provides top-notch training, services, customer service, much like you see some of the larger facilities, like you look at Michael Johnson Performance Center at in Dallas, and then you have Exos, who's, you know, known worldwide for their training that they do with combine athletes, NFL athletes, and I know they do, of course, tactical and youth athletes. But that's the type of mentality that I have, the kind of goal. I don't just want this to be a gym. I want this to be a sports performance training where athletes can actually get better as far as their speed, their strength, their power, their explosiveness. I want to be able to help the athletes as much as I can, and then of course try to reduce the risk of injury as much as I can.
I like that. So you're talking about injury reduction there versus injury prevention.
Yes.
It's a great point. That's a great point. So awesome. So you kind of hit on what was going to kind of be my next question in terms of the physical athletics mission, the mm-hmm. focus. So, excuse me. Sorry, coffee went down bad. So, for our student athletes that are listening, parents that might be listening, Coach Aguilar really does. He really is committed. He's really dedicated. He lives. He literally lives in here as we're filming this on Christmas Eve in his performance center. So it's a good thing. It's an awesome thing. Definitely is dedicated for sure. So, Coach, as we transition here a little bit, talk about this is ultimately this is a soccer podcast, right? Mm-hmm. But you know, in terms of strength and conditioning and the application, how it apply to soccer student athletes that play soccer, and it doesn't really have to just be soccer. But can you touch a little bit on the importance of strength and conditioning, why they need it, and some of the common misconceptions that you find yourself having to kind of break down?
Sure. So let me start off with this. So when I was at UTEP, I worked with a variety of sports, of course, but the one sport I worked with the most was soccer. And then when I went to University
good man.
Of North,
good man, yeah, you're a good man.
when I went to the University of North Texas, the one team I worked with the most was soccer as well, women's soccer. And I know UNT has a very successful program there. I think they just got their fifth Conference USA championship in a row.
They've been at the top for a while.
So they've been at the top for a while, and I, you know, my mentor there, Coach Dave Trevino, who's no longer there. He's at a different university, but regardless, I learned a lot of things from him and from the other strength coach at UTEP, Coach John Leach, and they each have their own training philosophies, but the same. There are similarities when it comes to training, mm-hmm. And that is to number one, just like with volleyball players, is to try to prevent ACL injuries. That would be the one thing I see the most as far as when it comes to athletes, soccer athletes,
right.
From change of direction aspect. Of course, it's a contact sport, so there are some things that you can prevent, but there are some things that you can't prevent when it comes to that. So. To go into the importance of that, we want to make sure that we, right from the off season, that we address the athlete's running technique, the way they sprint, the way they decelerate, and then as we transition into our preseason, and of course going into the in season, is we want to make sure that their technique is sound and that they're able to cut not only going from a linear, going from a lateral, going diagonal. So that we try to prevent those injuries as much as we can. Of course, the contact ones we can't. Strength plays a large part of it. Female athletes and I think parents as well are somewhat in a. I'm starting to not see it as much, but I still see it sometimes where it's somewhat of a misconception of if my daughter is going to start lifting weights, is she going to number one get bulky?
Right.
Is that yeah, and it's
the overwhelming like, number one.
Yes, yeah. Yes, and yeah. You know, no, you obviously that's no. The athlete needs to be able to get stronger. Needs to lift some weights, of course, with the appropriate loading and progressions or whatever it is the program that they're doing,
right.
So that the athlete can actually get stronger. And the stronger the athlete is, the more force they'll be able to apply into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
The better they'll be at decelerating. Parents actually don't understand that when it comes to actually getting, it's like, well, they need to be more agile. You may need to put a little bit more emphasis on strength, because if they don't have the strength to go from full speed, decelerate and readjust and, you know, redirect their body wherever they need to go, then they're going to fall apart.
Which is a constant in the game of soccer.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's like you said, it's you know, you see an athlete running and whether they have the ball or not, they need to be able to make quick cuts,
right.
A lot of times. And you know, there goes a lot of times an ankle injury, an ankle sprain.
Right.
So I think that's one of the big misconceptions when it comes to that. I'm very proud of the training that my female athletes do in here, because they train just as hard as every single male athlete, and they're not intimidated. And I love to see that, because it develops a certain confidence in them that they, I do believe, take it on the field.
Right.
And when an athlete is that strong and feels that confident, then they're going to approach, the way they approach playing and practicing is going to be much different than than if they felt him perhaps a little weaker.
That's got to be one of the most powerful things to see in here, right? So mm-hmm. when you first start working with an athlete in here, mm-hmm. they're probably maybe limited on not only knowledge but confidence.
Oh, absolutely.
And yet, whatever it may be, 4, 6, 8 weeks down the road, they're a completely different person, right? Loaded in confidence, and now they know what they can do, or they know what to do when they're in here. So that's awesome. That's mm-hmm. great stuff.
No, absolutely. You know, I have. Each athlete is different, of course, and each athlete might need different things as far as if there are any issues as far as their flexibility, mobility, if their technique, if they're just not understanding the movement, perhaps. But I do have some very young athletes who I have one that just turned 12, and you know, she's able to squat a 45-pound plate on each side, and
wow.
that's very impressive. And she just doesn't realize just how strong she is, and mm-hmm. it's like, you are pretty strong.
All right, that's awesome. Good stuff. So I know you work with a lot of student athletes in here. What are your thoughts on the athletes that from this region, from the Borderland region, that you see in here that you get to work with, just in terms of whether male, female, their sports, just the growing trends, anything? Just what are your thoughts on kind of student athletes in this region, in the Borderland region?
I think. We have a very talented athletes, and because we're connected with Fort Bliss, of course, we get sometimes even athletes that are not born and raised here. We might get athletes from elsewhere, but one thing here in El Paso is, unfortunately, is athletes are not very tall. So depending on the sport, you know, and of course for soccer, you don't need to be 6'2", 6'3", of course, but even then, you would still want athletes that are a little bit taller. So when it comes to performance training, I think this is something that they would definitely need when it comes to that. They're very talented, they work very hard, but I want to see those athletes succeed even more, regardless of how tall they are and whatnot. So I've worked with athletes from the West Side, from Horizon, from Far East. Of course, that's the majority of the athletes that I get. We've even had some athletes from 2-3 years ago. We had a couple basketball players from Gadsden, and they came in here at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I knew that they were probably on the road by 5 a.m. just to get here. And so I admire them so much. And athletes here, you know, they come in at 6 a.m. to train.
Yeah.
And they work hard. And I don't think there's anything different from athletes here to the athletes I've seen when I was at UTEP or when I was at UNT. And, of course, there I'm seeing athletes that are being recruited from Canada. That was a big one for soccer. I worked with a lot of athletes who were from Nigeria. I worked with some that were from Europe. When I was at UNT, same thing. So
a real taste of international athletes.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the work ethic speaks for itself, and you can see it, right? When a certain athlete doesn't have that drive, that work ethic, or that perhaps that love for that sport, you can very quickly see it. And perhaps they're just not in the right sport. Maybe they need to go to a different sport in order for them to feel that love and passion and drive for their sport. But regardless, every athlete I've trained here has had that same drive here in town. And when they come in because this is something that they want to do. Of course, you know, mom and dad see it. You know, he or she might need to work a little bit on their vertical jump or on their speed, their acceleration, yada yada. But a lot of times the questions that I ask during my assessment is not necessarily to the parent, but then I redirect my focus to the athlete. And it's, what do you want to do? And it's like, well, you know, I feel like I need to get a little bit stronger here. I need to, you know, I feel a little slow when I do this. And when I see that, just tells me quickly, okay, this person really does want to improve. They're not just here because mom and dad are just throwing them in here.
Very important. That's awesome. So, you know, one of the very first things that I noticed when I first came here, it's a very unique setup. It's a very, I like it. It's very pretty awesome. On one end, you have the kind of the physical therapy side of the house, right? Mm-hmm. And then you can literally transition over to the other side of the gigantic facility where the performance center is, which is where you operate out of. So given that, I guess, and kind of going forward, looking to the future, what can we kind of expect from physical athletics in the future, and for student athletes, parents that might be listening and that might be interested, what can you hit on regarding physical athletics, what you all are doing now and headed towards the future?
So our goal is obviously always to, and my goal specifically, is to continue to make this facility the best training performance training center that I can possibly make. And with our help with our physical therapy clinic, it does give us a very unique advantage when it comes to providing overall care to athletes. And I think that's something very unique that we have here, where we can transition athletes where they were in therapy next door and I transition them here into a program. Whatever injury they have, of course, I'm in constant communication with our physical therapist, but we can transition them in here. If an athlete were to get hurt at a game, at a practice, or whatever it is, you know, we have our physical therapist next door who could perform, you know, quick screens to see, right, to let the parent know, you need to go get this checked out right now. Or, you know, it's a small minor sprain, you know, they'll be fine after a week mm-hmm. or two. So the goal is to continue to make this facility grow and of course our physical therapy and expand to be able to reach more athletes here in town. The training will remain the same. There are some things that we are working on implementing. We do want to implement somewhat of a more of a recovery aspect here mm-hmm. in my facility, where we have perhaps a massage therapist on staff to perform some deep tissue massage on athletes if they need it, cupping, cryotherapy. Those are some things that we're looking in the future just to keep helping the athletes feel better, recover, whatever they need. And so our services will continue to improve, to evolve. And you know, of course, we're always open to suggestions. Whatever the athletes feel like, you know, can you help me with this? And you know, I'm constantly reading and doing trainings and whatnot to provide the best type of best services that I can possibly provide to the athletes. So, as far as physical athletics goes, you know, we're just gonna continue to do the best job that we can and continue to grow as much as possible. And we welcome any athlete from middle school, high school, collegiate, semi-pro, professional. I do have a program for you here. I spend hours upon hours for every sport, for every athlete, 52 weeks out of the year, modifying things from their strength training, their plyometric work, jump work, speed, acceleration, conditioning, you name it. Even as far as flexibility, things that they might need to do, mobility stuff. I try to be as comprehensive as I can here.
That's awesome. That's great stuff. Really great stuff. I think the recovery, as a former college coach, I can tell you I'm really excited to hear. I push, even with my high school program at Isleta, I really push the recovery aspect, because the recovery aspect is, it's immediate, you know, as soon as you're done competing. So really excited to hear that. You guys, very comprehensive is the perfect word. So very impressed. So, all right, Coach, so you're gonna stick around with us for one more segment. And everybody, just don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this word from our sponsors. And we're back. Welcome back to the 50-50 podcast presented by Physical Athletics. We are actually with the Director of Strength and Conditioning for Physical Athletics, Coach Armando Aguilar. So, Coach Aguilar, are you ready? So we're ready for our next segment here, counterattack. I throw it out there really quick. Right. I kind of go on the attack, and then you come back quickly, kind of rapid fire. So okay. We're gonna test some soccer IQ, some soccer knowledge along the way. So, all right, here we go. All right, so first one I got for you, any particular weight room or training superstitions or rituals that you have, pre or post training, anything?
Pre or post training rituals.
Superstitions, anything?
Superstitions. I can't say that. Just foam rolling every single time before working out, but maybe that's because I'm getting old.
That's system, right? System.
It's a system.
System.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. That's all you got?
Yeah, that's all. That's all I've got.
Oh wow. Okay.
Well, I do have to listen to a certain music. If I'm benching, it's got to be some classical music. If I'm squatting,
classical.
Yes,
that's
yes,
a first.
And that gets me in the right state of mind. But if I'm squatting, it's got to be hard rock.
Okay.
It's a very. But then afterwards. After I listen to classical music, then I transition into rock music.
Yeah, I understand 50% of that. I don't know about classical. I listen to classical when I'm studying, man. Yeah, so, all right. So, if not performance, if not strength and conditioning, what's another sport in another life that you would have coached?
A sport.
And you can't say soccer just to appease me. Okay, you gotta.
I'm going to say Olympic weightlifting.
All right. It's kind of in the same vicinity.
Yeah,
but
you know, it is an Olympic sport.
It is, which I love to watch.
My professor would kill me for this, but Olympic curling.
Curling, all right. So I guess, all right, no comment. All right, so other profession, if not in the performance industry, the strength and conditioning industry, in another life, what would have been a different profession you would have done?
Would have delved into astronomy, astrophysics.
Nice.
That
brain on you.
If that's one thing I do love to. I read a lot about this stuff, but honestly, I think I read more about astronomy, astrophysics, and
so you must have really been nerding out a few days ago with Saturn and Jupiter.
Yes,
and
yes,
all
yes,
that.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And I got some. We did a Secret Santa for our company yesterday, and I requested two books. One was the last book that Dr. Stephen Hawking wrote, and then the other one was a book from Carl Sagan, Demon Haunted World.
Nice. So. That's awesome. All right, so now we're really going to test that IQ then. All right, there's some soccer IQ here for you.
Okay.
All right, so one of these is not a soccer player. Christian Pulisic, Weston McKennie, Lewis Hamilton. Which
Hamilton.
One? All right, good job. Look at that. Astronomy's paying off, man. All right. All right, so favorite and least favorite soccer team. Do you have one?
Favorite and least favorite soccer team. Oh, man.
It's the least favorite that usually stumps people.
My family is a big my uncle specifically, he's big into soccer from Mexico. Uh-huh. And him and my dad are always, you know, they have their own team. But I think I've learned to dislike America.
Okay. Yeah, good man.
I think that's the one thing. It's like, oh, gosh.
All right. But no favorite, though.
My uncle likes
usually if you dislike America, it's because you're a hardcore
Chivas fan. That's the one. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
I would say yeah.
Yeah,
right. That would be
good, man. That's where I lived for a little while. That's where
right?
my mom was from, yeah, Guadalajara. All right, so non-soccer, any other sport, favorite and least favorite team?
Favorite and least favorite team.
So of all the other sports, what's the favorite team?
I'm a big Lakers fan.
All right. Well, thank you. It was a pleasure having you on the podcast. This podcast is over.
I'm a big, you know, when I being a, since I played basketball in high school, mm-hmm. Lakers is just, you know, during that time, that was when Kobe and Shaq and right. I mean, that was just a beautiful team. Least favorite team would have to be We're gonna have to come back to that one.
I can't think of a least favorite team. Have a reattack.
I think it's somewhat of a bias where I can't have a least favorite team. I love all the athletes. God, that sounds so cliche.
You plugging in for future pros.
That's right.
All right. Yeah, I've noticed since about September, there all of a sudden there's been a lot of Laker fans again. I don't know. So maybe,
well,
I don't know what happened.
Yeah,
since I don't know what happened.
No.
Since then. I don't know. All right. So next one, hidden talent, secret talent that you might have. That only either very few people know, or maybe no one really knows.
Hidden talent.
And you can't come back to the astronomy thing.
No. I think I've exhausted that one. Hidden talent. Does writing count? I like to write.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I like to write, and I when it comes to.
Now, I do have to mention liking it and being talented at it.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, if someone's told you that, hey, you're a good writer,
some people have told me that they do like the way I write.
Okay.
So I'm gonna go with that.
I'll give that to you. Good job. And I have seen some of your writing already, so I could see that.
Okay.
I can see that. All right. 10 months into the pandemic, again, any Netflix series or show that you've had the opportunity to really binge watch that you hadn't prior, that you finally got to dig into a little bit? Anything?
Let's see. I started watching. I'm a huge fan of The Crown, the show from Netflix, and I finally got to finish it. And now I finally started watching after a whole year of only watching one episode. I finally started watching the Mandalorian, so I'm looking forward to finishing that because everyone keeps.
We had a phone call about that. Didn't we?
Yeah. It's a pretty neat show.
It's like season two now.
Yeah, okay. I'm on I think like episode 5 or 6 right now. I just watched the one last night. So slow and steady wins the race, I suppose.
There you go.
Those two shows.
But that one's not on. What's that one on? Is it Apple TV?
Which one?
Or what's the Mandalorian?
What
is
Mandalorian?
It
it's on Disney.
Disney.
Okay. Plus. There we go.
Yeah.
Since Disney just about owns.
Yeah.
Everything.
Everything.
Right now.
Yeah. All right. So here's a different one for you. So funniest moment you've had. In here while training an athlete, just something that something off the wall, that just funniest moment.
Oh man!
I know there's tons of them, so you kind of got to try to one that really stands out to you.
Gosh, she's gonna hate me for this, but I have this one athlete who is we're working on it. She's not as coordinated as she could possibly be. But she's a beautiful girl. She's amazing, and she plays volleyball. And every time she walks in here, I have to say, careful, Maddie, because it seems like some of the equipment at times moves around in front of her. We'll do an exercise, and she'll kind of lose her balance here and there, and she plays it off well, but she makes me laugh a whole lot. And so I would say a lot of the times when funny moments, it would probably be when she's in here and she does something relatively clumsy, not dangerous, but just relatively clumsy. She makes me laugh a lot.
So. That's awesome. All right. So she'll remember it too.
Yeah.
She'll have some good stories as well. All right. So final question I got for you here. So post-pandemic, the entire family, you got relatives coming from out of town, everything. Sunday dinner, you're the chef. What are you cooking?
Ooh, it's gonna have to be. I like cooking steak.
Good man.
Grilling a steak, yeah.
On grill or I'm throwing it outside on the grill?
No, inside.
Okay.
What
kind?
I'm gonna have to go with ribeye.
Ribeye, all right.
Yeah. And. Loaded mashed potatoes. Yeah.
All right.
That would be it.
Yeah. No veggies, no nothing.
Oh yeah, of course. You gotta have your fiber, but you know,
there you go.
whatever we have in the freezer.
All right, there you go. All right. Well, Coach Aguilar, this has been awesome. Thank you again for being here.
It's my pleasure.
Full disclosure, I have to mention the fact that we're proud partners, both Physical Athletics and the 50/50 podcast. So this is, in many ways, I kind of felt like this is a lot of the conversations we've already had. So it was great to have you on the podcast. Any final thoughts? Anything you'd like to share with our listeners?
I would just say, in our current climate, please try to stay as active as possible. I think it's a very important thing for not only your mental health but your physical health to try to stay as active as possible. Even if you don't play a sport, try to stay as active as possible. And we're gonna get through this.
Great words. And any last plugs as far as social media? Where can we, all your different social media platforms, where can we find you?
You guys can find us on Facebook, on Twitter, and Instagram. I'm most active on Instagram, second being Facebook, and third being Twitter. I'm still trying to get the hang of Twitter. It's a little bit different. I don't like retweeting a whole lot of. I like making my own content, creating my own content, and I'll retweet some things, of course. But Instagram is Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. You guys can reach us there. Send us a message or give us a call. Or if you guys want to come in and check out the facility, you guys are anyone is more than welcome to come in and check out our facility. Any questions you guys might have, just come in and be more than happy to answer any questions you guys may have.
Awesome, great stuff. He's Coach Armando Aguilar, again, Director of Strength and Conditioning at Physical Athletics. Again, you can find him on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Physical Athletic, that's singular, at Physical Athletic, or on their website at physicalathletics.com. And they are also located at 2270 Joe Battle Boulevard here in El Paso, Texas. Coach, thanks again for your time.
Thank you so much.
All right, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.